Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here. As you can tell, we're going to be looking at the question, who is Jesus? And why does that even matter to us? We're looking at Peter and a number of little snapshots of his life and the things that he said, encountered. We're not looking at all of them, but we're looking at a few things. And one of those questions is that that he had to answer was, who did he see Jesus as? What did he believe about Jesus? And that's a question that continues on from the time of Jesus until today, and a question that's very relevant for each and every one of us that is here this morning. Who is Jesus? We're looking in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, we pick up. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, it was a phrase that he gave to himself that he borrowed from the Old Testament. So who are people saying I am? What do the people believe? What's the buzz? What are people talking about? What's the word out there on the street about me? Now, it's a good question for us even today as we see just this little video showed us there are a lot of different views out there about who Jesus is. In a more formal sense, when we look at who do the people of today believe that Jesus is, there are a few different things that we can look at. According to research conducted by the Barna Group, 92% of Americans believe that Jesus was a real person. And 56% say that Jesus was God in the flesh. 26% say he was only a religious or spiritual leader like Muhammad or the Buddha. And 18% say they aren't sure whether Jesus was even divine. For Muslims, Jesus was a prophet on par with Moses. For Jews, Jesus was simply a sect leader. And according to Shanaka Rishadah, director of the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies, for most Hindus, Jesus measures up as a sadhu, a holy man. He preached a universal message of love of God and love of brother, which was beyond any sectarianism or selfishness. And Jesus was one of those people who appealed from heart to heart. And that is what makes him such a great Hindu saint. And though Buddhism has many different stripes and variants to it, for the Dalai Lama, Jesus is the model of a spiritually mature, good, and warm-hearted person. Something to think about. And we'll look at that a little bit more here. But what did Jesus' contemporaries believe about him? Well, how did they respond when Jesus asked this question? And they replied, well, some say you're John the Baptist. There were those who thought John was such a holy guy that he could have risen from the dead. I'm not exactly sure how that happens, since how Jesus and John were alive at the same time, but that's what people were saying. Others said Elijah. Now, Elijah was one of the great prophets, probably that recognized second to Moses as the greatest prophet they had. He did miracles. He did a number of things. He was just a tremendous figure in Old Testament history, in Jewish history. And others still, Jeremiah, another prophet that captured their imagination. And it was there preaching at a time when the nation of Israel was getting moved into exile. Whatever they thought about him, each of these portray the idea of he is preparing the way for the Messiah. So that's what they see. What are they saying about you? They say, if you're not the Messiah, you're getting us ready for the Messiah. But Peter took it one step further. Jesus asked, yeah, okay, that's what people are saying. That's what the word is out there. A lot of different theories, A lot of different ideas. But what about you? What do you believe? What do you make of all of this? What's it coming down to for you? And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Now make the connection there. These other figures were preparing their way for the Messiah. Peter takes it one step. You are the Messiah. You haven't just come to get us ready for him. You are him. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Now we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But here's the big question for us. What difference does it make what Peter believed, what other people believe, and quite frankly, what difference does it make what you and I believe? Well, Jesus tells us here, Matthew 16 and 18, he says, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, that's an interesting phrase here that we see, and we break this down just a little bit. There is a word play that Jesus does when he uses two versions of Peter's name or the word rock. Peter is Petros, but when he says, "Then I will build on this rock," he uses the word Petra, slightly different version. And there are a lot of theories about what that means. For some, the Catholics believe, well, that meant that Peter is the foundation of the church. He is its forerunner. Others, we look at and we see that there is a confession, and that is what Jesus refers to when he uses the word Petra. It's your confession. And some even add this in, and I like this, and I think it holds up here, is that he's also referring to his faith. It is on this faith that I will build my church. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We know that Peter preached the first gospel message post Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And on the day of Pentecost, the church came into being, and it began with the message that Peter preached. And when he says, "Whatever you bind on earth and will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven," these are phrases not unusual and not unknown to the people of that time. And what it is basically you're going to be affirming and denying different things. You're going to be getting the church ready and understanding of what's happening here as we move forward. In a sense, while Peter is not going to be the predominant figure throughout all of church history, he has a role to play in getting the church started and leading it early on. That doesn't mean that everybody that follows after him has the same authority and same role that he did, but he had a very unique role to play. So then the question comes for us next. Is who do I say he is? You see, when you talk about the difference that it makes for Peter, when he makes this confession, it changes the course of his life. It moves him in a new direction of where he is going. If Peter said, "Oh, I agree with you. I just think you're Elijah. I'm voting on Elijah." If we were putting it up on a whiteboard, I'd put a tally under Elijah or Jeremiah. And that's where it would have ended. But because he embraces Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of the living God, his life begins to move in a direction. It's as if there are paths in front of him. Which path are you going to take, Peter? Which one do you choose? For those of us of a certain age, we remember, will it be door number one, door number two, or door number three? The big prize, or the thanks for playing, Good luck at home explaining to your wife why you chose door number 3 and, you know, you got the coupon book. So what difference does it make? It changes the course of your life, the decision you make. So he says to us, and essentially I think this goes on, who do I say he is? Is he real? Or is he just a legend? And even legends have sometimes a real person at the beginning, but everything that's built around them is just made up. What is he? Well, there are enough sources beyond the Bible that testify that Jesus was a real person. That credible historians recognize that at the very least there was a Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified by Pontius Pilate, and that the people of that time believed that he rose from the dead. So as an historical figure, I think we can say he was real. But what kind of man was he? Was he, as we've heard, was he just an enlightened human? Somebody who got it? Somebody who understands human nature? Who's just really good at philosophy and metaphysics and that stuff made sense to him? Was he just a big-hearted guy who embraced the concept of love supreme and that was enough? Is he a prophet from God but not God? Is he just a model for human behavior that we should do whatever he did? Or was he God in the flesh? One of the great Christian apologists of the last 100 years or so is a man by the name of C.S. Lewis. You may know some of the children's books that he wrote. He's probably most famous for those. But he also had a way of speaking to some of the questions that surrounded Jesus and the Christian faith. And he said this. He said, "You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." Now, he broke this down in another way with this, with three questions of what Jesus could be. First off, was he a liar? He claimed that he and the Father were one. That to see and know him was to see and know the Father. He said, he took on for himself the title, "I Am," which was the title that God used when speaking to Moses. So if none of that was true, but yet he's proclaiming it to be true, then what does that make him? A liar. And does a liar sacrifice his life? Does a liar say, think about all the other things that he had to say? Do those fit with a liar? Well, if he's not a liar, but if he just truly believed that he was who he said he was, even if it wasn't true, he had the ultimate Messiah complex, that he thought he was, he had a break from reality, and he thought he was the Son of God. Well, what do we call that? We would say he had a mental illness. We would say he probably needs some therapy and some medication to get back on track. But in Lewis's words, he was used a lunatic. So was he a liar or was he a lunatic? But when you look at the whole of teaching, Jesus' teachings again, we see that these are not the words of a lunatic. They make too much sense. They cut too deep. They get to the heart of the question. They ask things of us in such a profound way that we cannot ignore them. Those are not the words of a lunatic. We've seen lunatic politicians. We've seen lunatic leaders before. And they wind up seeking to destroy everything around them, but not Jesus. Lunatic leaders divide to conquer, but not Jesus. He welcomed in any who would come to him. So what does that leave us with? Lord? And if he is Lord, what do we do with his life and his words? Listen to what Jesus said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And even though the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. If you go house buying, what do you often do if you're really looking? You know, you can walk in to the living room and any other rooms and you look around at the different, oh, look at the nice palettes and colors and the trim and the flooring and all those things. But if you're smart, you go down deep and you take a look at the foundation to see what's happening there. You go looking to see, are there cracks in the walls? Is it leaning in one way or another? And that will tell you where this house is going to be in the long run. So anyone who builds their lives on the words that he has is a wise man building on a solid rock. He says, but it goes on, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Now, why would you build your house on sand? Because it's quicker. It takes time to get the foundation right, solid. That takes time, takes cost, but you can just, if you just get started on the sand, boy, you can get done a whole lot quicker, a lot cheaper. He says, but the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. And so there it is for us. There it is for each of us. Peter watched and he listened to Jesus and he heard the words of the Father. That's what he heard. He didn't hear just Jesus' word. He heard God speaking through Jesus. Recognized it and recognized him for what it was. And so he made his confession. And upon that confession of Christ and the faith that is required to make such a confession, the church would be built. Peter would eventually begin this formal process on the day of Pentecost, and he would be guiding the young church. And the course of his life went a whole different direction. And it's further directed by his belief in Jesus. And the same is true for you and me. Still today, at this moment, in this coming week, what you believe about Jesus will determine the choices that you make. And we are faced with choices all through the week. Not just about what road we'll take to get to work, and what's the best path, and where are we going to eat? But there are going to be little things. What words are we going to use when speaking to other people or about other people? How will we handle a conflict? When we're tempted to cheat on a test or find some way to promote ourselves over someone else, what will we choose? What we believe about Jesus informs those decisions. It guides them. We come back around and realize, I don't get to do whatever just feels good to me. I have to choose a different way. I have to choose something that honors him, that recognizes his words are the words of life. Not only for me, but when I live out his words, I bring life to other people. When I gave my life to Jesus early January 1979, I had no idea where that would lead me. Living in Southern California, a senior here at high school, I had lots of other thoughts and plans, and the road wound around a little bit. But that decision informed a lot of things and kept bringing me back to a certain path. And it informs my relationships, my marriage, my parenting, my friendships, my work. It always comes back in. That confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's not just a wise man to me. He's not just a good man to me. He is the Son of God. But just because I believe that doesn't mean you automatically believe it. And just because I believe it doesn't mean you automatically should believe it. You have the option, you have the opportunity to look into this for yourself, to think about the questions that you have. But here's the one thing with Jesus. You can choose to ignore him and just put it away and just say, it doesn't matter who Jesus was. It doesn't matter who he said he was. You can try to put that away, or you can realize that Jesus brought something big to the table. His teachings, his sacrifice, his resurrection. And he asks you, take a look at these. Before you make a decision about who I am, take a look at these. Make an informed decision. But make a decision. Is he the Son of the living God or not? You may not be ready to make that decision at this moment. You may still have more questions, and that's okay. And I encourage you, keep coming back, because we're going to keep looking at Jesus through Peter's eyes. And we'll see that Peter's eyes are a lot like our eyes. He's asking the same questions we are. He's considering the same things we are. So keep coming back and keep learning. But if you are ready today to make that decision, to make that confession, to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he welcomes you with open arms. His grace is there for you. His love is there for you. And he is ready to take your life in a new direction, on a new path. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. And I thank you for what we're able to learn here together. And I thank you for your word, which has a way, it's a double-edged sword, and has a way of just really cutting through. Not my words, but your word, Father. And we have to consider who Jesus is. Peter saw Jesus in action. Peter listened to what he had to say. And he was ready to jump in with both feet. The same decision comes down to each of us. Half measures will not do. We need to be willing to jump in, to take that step, to move in that direction. The thought of following Jesus can raise a lot of fears, a lot of concerns for us, a lot of what ifs. What if this is all just nonsense? What if he leads me somewhere I don't want to go? What if he asks me to change things I don't want to change? Honest questions. But we still have to come back to Jesus, Father, and start there. What do I believe about him? Help each one of us in this room to confront that and make our choice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.